Welcome, investigator. Evil is on the rise. Crime is escalating. Our mission is to eliminate the crime by exposing evil, examine why it manifests, and highlight the brave souls that confront it every day. Join us as we work together to bring justice to every victim. Welcome to All Things Crime. Here's your host, Jared Bradley.
Yeah, right. Total void.
It's almost counterintuitive. It's like, wait a minute, we got this over-reliance on DNA, but when we have it, we don't even use the tools that are that. That's where I'm trying to go with you. Gumshoe would, hey, I know about the MVAC. I know that will help and gives me a better chance of finding DNA, right? That's what I'm, does that make sense?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no, right on the mark.
Well, one other thing I want to throw out at you guys is, you know, something else that I don't know, Joe, if you're familiar with the Maidenwater case that was solved here in Utah, where a woman out of Ohio was murdered and her husband basically, well, cut off her hands, you know, so that she, and then froze her in the freezer, wrapped her up in a sleeping bag and plastic and a carpet, and drove her all the way out to Utah and dumped her on the side of a road down there by Lake Powell, kind of out in the middle of the desert. Fortunately, a couple of guys found her, you know, within a few days. But she was unidentified for 20 years. So Jane Doe. Well, once they finally, and the way that she was identified is what I really wanted to bring up for you guys, is that the agency out here in Salt Lake decided, you know what, we got nothing to lose. This poor woman's been unidentified for 20 years. So they posted a post-mortem picture of her. And again, because she was frozen, it was almost a perfect picture. And then within a week, and it's totally separate, but within a week, the agency in Youngstown, Ohio, that was responsible for this missing persons case, posted a picture of her on the internet saying, hey, this woman is still missing. She's been gone 20 years. Has anyone seen her? Well, there was a web sleuth, you know, and a crime sleuth out in California who happened to be doing enough research that saw both of these pictures. And she identified something. I think it was like a mole that was kind of behind her ear. And she said, hey, I think that's the same person. So here you have some lady that is completely just, you know, enjoys true crime, enjoys listening to shows like this. And we have a lot of amazing listeners that, you know, they pick up stuff like this all the time. Well, she's the one that phoned in the tip and said, hey, I think this is your missing person or this is your unidentified person. And so then she was actually the catalyst that linked up the two agencies, the Utah Bureau of Investigation, as well as the Youngstown PD. The two of them got together and wham, yep, that was her. They identified her. So, and then once she was actually identified, then they were able to get on to the DNA work, which they used the MVAC on to identify her killer. So, you know, just like that case, you have another element that I think is relevant to the modern day and the information era that we're in, where you have a whole bunch of people out there that are doing research on these cases, and they're not even law enforcement. They're not even involved in it. They're just interested in true crime, interested in cold cases and everything else. And that's an amazing resource that detectives can use if they have, and especially those that are humble enough to accept help from outside sources.
Yeah, that is certainly a trend right now. I mean, in addition to web sleuths, just think of all the three primary genetic genealogists that you know have solved the most cases, all three of those women, right? Whether it's CC Moore or Colleen Fitzpatrick or Barbara Venter, I mean, they're all using volunteers, every one of them, right? And a lot of those are non-paid or non, you know, they're just, hey, helping me, you know, they're expanding the reach. But yeah, I'm seeing more and more of that, Jared, where you're seeing these civilians are coming forward. And I'm like you, I mean, you know, we almost, I'm sure people almost go, well, wow, the police took in 20 years, couldn't figure this out. And somebody jumps on a couple of websites and, you know, voila, here we got this, you know, figure out who this is. But I always encourage that, right? We get emails, we get calls almost certainly weekly it's almost feeling like daily from people wanting to volunteer. People say, hey, do we would look at this case, or hey, had we thought about this? And we certainly, we never, you know, say, hey, go away. We're always evaluate what they have. And in some of these tips and calls we've gotten, they have led to, you know, the identity of a victim or the identity of a suspect, or, you know, similar to what you're sharing in the case you just shared.
Yeah, I always liked getting, so with ERT, we would bring people in who worked other jobs, and then they would come aboard and they're like, well, I never really worked any of this. I was, you know, an artist or whatever. I'm like, oh, I love them, you know, or just yeah. People who are readers, and they bring so much to the equation, and they walk over and go, I'm pretty sure, you know, I may be wrong. And I'm like, no, you're right. So yeah, those asymmetric thinkers are outside the box, and they just come from a different world, and they just come up with these solutions. And if it's wrong, you just, we go, let's work to disprove this theory, and let's work to disprove it. And that's fair. You know, that's fair how to do that. But a lot of times they're right. And they just like, who knew? Who knew? I think of an example. We were out looking for some skeletal remains is south of a government enclave out in south of Baltimore. I forgot which one it was. But there were these thorns on this. It was very springy. So I brought out a bunch of tools with the machete. I'm like, I'll hit it at an angle over here. Anyway, we had a nurse on the team, and she brought out a paramedical shear. So I'm sitting here getting stuck with these things, getting tangled up. And I look to my right, and the team over there, and she's got a paramedical shears, and she's just cutting her way through with something that costs about $4, you know. And I'm like, learned behavior right there. So immediately we adapt those, and yeah, big $4. And we got everybody equipped on that particular piece of it. So examples like that. And then I realized, wow, I don't know everything. Long before that, I realized I didn't know everything. But anytime I can bring a different tool into it and explain that, you know, and bring that in out to the equation, to me, that helps solve things. You know, that's their thing. That's they know that, or they have a reason for it if we listen to them.
Well, the other thing that I think is helping as well, Jared, is what you're doing. You know, similar, you've got a podcast, right? All Things Crime.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of folks, if and you don't even know this, but, you know, we do classes out here and we say, hey, go to All Things Crime, because I know you bring guests on that know what in the hell they're talking about, right? They got the mechanics down of how to investigate a homicide. They got knowledge that other people don't have. But think of the various podcasts going on around the country. You know, I mean, forget your MVAC. I applaud you for doing what you're doing, because that, you know, that knowledge, not everybody knows it, right? I mean, there's certain things that we have to rely on other people. And I think that's another thing that's solving cases is True Crime Podcast. I mean, and then folks raising money like Season of Justice, right? That there are, you know, and a lot of crowdfunding going on, crowdsourcing. And, you know, I think these are tools. I don't think they're going to dissipate. I think they're going to become more important into the future, because I think you're just going to have more of it, you know, as the technology continues to advance. One thing that Craig Ackley and I are doing right now, and this is certainly, you know, Craig's developed a digital system for working cold cases. It's not mine, but he has given it to the Carolinas Cold Case Coalition. He said, here, you can have it. And what we're trying to do is put some AI into it. Right. And you think about, oh, wow, you know, now that's the next step of cold cases, is can we put AI into this thing? So, and we're going to try to take a case that has been solved and see if the AI finds the right suspect. Now, that sounds futuristic, doesn't it? But that's
No, I love it. We talked to Vince Pankoke. So he was my training agent down in Miami, you know, a million years ago. But Vince, if the name sounds familiar, did the Anne Frank investigation. So I asked him, I said, we're going at something, a prohibition agent who was killed in 1930. And so we're a very smaller data group right there. I said, how can we do the same thing? My writing partner, by the way, is ATF retired guy, Adam Price. We've been going at this thing for a number of years now. I said, how did you do that? And he says, well, it was just really cool how he did it. So he goes, you can only remember so much. And Vince just cuts to the chase. And he said, get all of that, get it translated, and then those keywords will be get pulled out of it. So I'm like, wow, it's that simple. So sure enough, when somebody makes mention of some name in it, there's name variants, you're like, well, hey, you know, for us who've worked this, we'll go, where do I know that name right from? And you're flipping through, it's right on there. It's right on there. And I was just like, that is so awesome. That is so awesome. And they took literally, Joe and Jared, they took every interview with Otto Frank, with everybody who was affiliated or associated with the Frank investigation over the years, and the different languages, had it translated down. Now they had a juggernaut of resources to do that. I say that tongue in somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but they had that ability and had a lot of people and making that database out of it. So when they had to translate it into a common language, they could bring that across for indexing. And I make mention of that too, because I tell them, I said, well, you go to trial, it's you. And in the federal system, it's you as being the assistant attorney on that case, second or third chair. I said, the defense has everything indexed. They have assistants, but you know, they're getting paid big dollars to do that. I said, let's borrow from that. And so that's exactly what Vince did and was successful on this to flesh out all those other stray leads and then ultimately pointed to one person. So I was like, wow, I have a long way to go, a lot to learn out here. So yeah, very impressive body of work is what he did. And yeah, I just learned a little bit of it. But yeah, that's interesting where we're going to be going on that here soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I think AI is really going to be a game changer for cold cases. And it's just getting the right, you know, set of questions into it. And, you know, it seems so futuristic to me, but I realize, you know, like you, Tom, that, you know, what we learn and what we know, you know, is a small part of what a lot of people know. And so look for that, Jared, in the future. I'll keep you posted on that as to how it's progressing as we use it.
Well, guys, it's obviously we can talk about this stuff all day long. So I think we ought to wrap it up here, but Joe, I want to plug you a little bit. First of all, you know, in addition to your expertise, you make yourself available, which is fantastic. You know, you're not just sitting back and, you know, being in retirement mode. So if anybody needs to talk to Joe, go to Blue Line Training Group out of North Carolina. And I know Joe, you are all over the place, and you know, how you ended up writing this book, I think is fantastic. Again, the book is called Solving Cold Cases, Investigations, Techniques, and Protocol by Joe Kennedy with Hogan Hilling. So I'm going to hold this up again so that the folks can see it. And, you know, definitely get this book. And as soon as I get it, I think I get it tomorrow, which is ironic, but I am going to be pouring into that thing because, you know, even though I'm a civilian and I bring the MVAC to people, it still is there. People ask me a lot of questions, you know, they'll look at evidence and they'll say, well, is this appropriate for an MVAC or not? And frankly, I need to know. So that's one of the first things I'm going to be pouring into. All right.
How about if I throw a data bit up here? You know, here's one that's cold case. The cousin wrote this, 1963 homicide. She was murdered out there. Somebody, you know, like you say, reviewing this, somebody may recall or know something, and you never know. Prime for that as well. But hey, what the heck? You know, if we capture it, and could be another solve. That'd be a 63. And they still have the evidence, by the way, per the book. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, interesting.
Well, Joe?
Yeah, great.
Anything else you want to throw out at us?
No, Jared, I will say this. We look at a lot of cases. I think we looked at just north of 200 cases last year at the Carolina School. We're willing to help anybody. We don't try to tell you how to do it. Call us. I'm up every morning about 4:30, 5 o'clock looking at cases or somewhere, you know, traveling. And, you know, I'm like you said to start this show, have no hobbies other than a border collie, right? And really, this is what we do. Kind of like Tom said, we get bored doing something else, right, Tom?
So oh, man, it makes me feel alive.
If we can help in any way, you know, give us a call, reach out to us a couple different ways, and we'll call you back or try to help you any way we can. I applaud you what you're doing, Jared. Keep doing it. You know, you probably never imagined doing a podcast when you first started, you know, working with the MVAC. Yeah, it solves cases. I will say this, you know, I know the city of Winston is now at least got it going. You've got several MVACs here in the state. We're constantly telling people to try to MVAC their old evidence, right? If applicable. So appreciate what you've done to make some really positive contributions, you know, in the field.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I've known you a long time. What was it? 8 years ago that we first met at ASOC.
Yep.
And yeah, ever since then, I've just been just huge fan, and I know that bringing together like minds and people that have expertise in different areas is absolutely the best way to do it. So, Joe, I appreciate you coming on, and Tom, appreciate all your input. So, guys, we can, you know, as your book goes along, and you know, Joe, I think you ought to get hot and start writing another one.
Well, I tell you, Jared, that's probably something that won't happen. I'm just got too much else going to write another book. But hopefully this book, it is designed to help detectives, nothing more, nothing less. And it will appeal to true crime enthusiasts. So hopefully some of your listeners, it'll help. The key is, you know, it's one thing to write, but can the book help you maybe solve a case? That's the intention of it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's absolutely packed with information. You know, just reading the excerpts of it, I'm already excited about it. So, all right, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks, and appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk at you later.
Okay, thanks. Tom, take care. If I can ever do anything for you, please let me know, sir.
Same goes this way. Yeah, we'll tighten that connections all up after this.
Absolutely.
Sounds good, Joe. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. Your attention today brings us one step closer to exposing and eliminating the evil that brings crime to our communities. Hit subscribe and share this episode. Together, we will bring justice to every victim.